The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010.
Hey, hey now.
What was that?
Just say hello.
I didn't know, like, because I've heard of hey now, and then I've heard of hey. But I don't know what hey now. I don't know what hey hey now is. Are you
like
trying to come up with your own woke crazy?
No, it's like rather, it's like the hello version of Aaron. Hey, hey now.
Hey, hey now.
I feel like this could be a bad idea today.
What's that?
And I'm not talking about hey, hey now. I'm talking about you and I.
Yeah, just you
and
I.
For a Friday show by yourself.
Right.
What could possibly go right?
Yeah, that's
not what could possibly go wrong. What could possibly go right?
So when you say it's just me and you, you mean truly it is just me and you. So like, so Stefania is, I don't know, she's boondoggling or something like that. She's got an excused absence.
She's
got an excused absence.
Belize, right?
I believe it is Belize.
Belize,
that is correct.
Heard Belize. Yeah.
So whatever. So Stefania's not here. Mike Clay is dealing with, he's sick.
He's got Spanish flu,
sick,
right?
Sick as a dog now.
He's got like a Spanish flu or something.
I would say he's barking like a dog because he's sick as one, but he can't even bark because it's laryngitis
so,
or something like that.
I have like a dog my mom has a dog that doesn't bark.
Thirsty
never bark.
Kyle getting married this weekend.
Congratulations. So happy
there you go.
Him. We had a nice little send off yesterday. So happy for him.
Yeah.
But what
so,
that means, Matthew.
So no Thirsty Kyle here as well. So literally, it's just me and you.
Right. So that means that Stefania.
I mean, not Cool Keith is here.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah,
but other than that.
But so.
It's just me, you,
know,
and Keith.
Stefania.
Wait, that's literally the only people that
right.
from the
I'm
show that anyone knows
guys,
about or cares
I'm
about. It's
here.
Me, you, and Keith.
Right.
I am still
that's
here.
The only
I didn't go anywhere.
The only people
I
here
actually
today
did the
you
show
and
the
I.
Last two
the first time that just you and I will
just
be
me and you.
The
only people.
Right. The only people.
Only us.
It's just going to be the two of us.
And Keith.
Should write a song about
me, you, and Keith.
Right. Just the
three
of us.
That's right. Just the three of us.
It's like the adaptation to the
Thanks for showing up for work, Keith. You're the only other guy.
It's really good to be here. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Keith. There you go.
Yeah. So should we get right to it?
Let's get to it.
Time for the football.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
All right, so before we get into all of our topics du jour, please feel encouraged to send along your questions that we can try to get to if we have time at the end of the show. Maybe some lineup. Like, we don't normally love the, like, should I start Terry McLaurin or whatever, DeSean Jackson? Well, that would be an obvious
one. That's an easy one. I'd take that one. That's an easy one.
But generally speaking, we try to make them a little bit less specific, but in rapid fire fashion.
Right. Do you want Terry McLaurin or Auden Tate?
Right.
Do you want, you know, like, right. Terry McLaurin or Mohamed Sanu?
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Exactly.
That
so
kind of,
generally
that
speaking,
kind of
we
area.
Prefer not to have those, but because it's rapid fire, we can fit in some of those.
So it's interesting because I tweeted something out. So I tweeted something out.
Okay.
And so, Brian D. Shaw.
Okay.
Tweeted at me and you and Stefania and Fantasy Focus.
Yes.
And I guess he threw Daniel in there, too. And if Daniel were here, Daniel might have flagged it for
right,
us.
Daniel's,
but the
I
fact
think Daniel's
is,
coming back on Tuesday. After the,
Tuesday?
I think he's at
Fair
the Lions
enough.
Game.
Did the show the last 2 days?
Understood. So anyway, what I said is, so here's what he wrote to me and you and Stefania and at Fantasy Focus. He wrote, odd name game question. What players would you consider trading to get the New England defense for the rest of the season? Now,
so can I have a moment on this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the Patriots defense, you give the stats in terms, I think you have a stat you've pulled in terms of what they've done so far relative to other star players.
Well, it's not me. It is Tristan H. Cockcroft. So
okay.
our friend at Sultan of Stat and the great Tristan H. Cockcroft, of course, does the Fantasy Focused Baseball podcast and does a lot of stuff for us here at ESPN in terms of writing and podcasting. And one of the things he does, just because he loves this stuff, is he's got an insane historical database just in his computer. Like he, you know, when he chose the name Sultan of Stat for a reason. Like he is Mr. Numbers. And so he tweeted this out and I just retweeted him. The top seven fantasy defenses through six games of any season since 1950. And you have to go all the way back to the 87 Bears to find a defense that had scored more fantasy
Baby
points.
Field.
for the through the first 6 weeks than the Patriots have. They've scored 122 fantasy points. And so anyway, you can, if you look at my Twitter feed, I retweeted Tristan, or you go to at Sultan of Stat. Give Tristan a follow, by the way. He's terrific.
Very useful. So the Patriots defense has been unbelievable.
Nothing short of amazing.
They've been incredible. And so two parts of it. They've been ridiculously incredible. They have faced an inferior schedule compared to other people, Matthew, which is worth noting.
Yes,
of course, it is a part of the equation. They have played the Steelers in week one. They have followed up with the Dolphins, the Jets, the Bills, the Redskins, and now
the Jets without Sam Darnold.
Sure.
I mean, you know.
No question. Yeah. Josh Allen got hurt in the Bills game.
That's right.
Matthew, that's fine. I get it. But, like, are we kidding ourselves? They have scored more touchdowns than they've allowed through six games. Like, this is ridiculous. I don't care who you are playing. Sunday.
They played six games and most have only played five. But one of the things I tweeted out is, like, they have scored more fantasy points per game.
Yeah.
They're averaging over 20 fantasy points per game. That is more than Alvin Kamara is averaging. That is more than Carson Wentz is averaging.
Right.
That is more than Julio Jones. Honestly, any wide receiver is averaging. I think it's right there with Chris Godwin.
So,
like, it's like when I tell you they are literally winning leagues left and right. They are winning leagues left and right.
Now, here's the best player on most people's teams.
Now, here's our upcoming schedule. So they are at the Jets next week.
Monday Night
you
Football.
Like that?
Yep.
Home to the Browns.
Like that? Yep.
Certainly, that's a good match. They're at Baltimore in Week 9. So
highest
matchup.
Scoring offense in football, I believe, or close to it.
Right.
So interesting test. Yeah.
Week 10, they have a bye. You don't love them in that week. Although,
I'm starting them out of respect.
Fair. Then it gets tougher, right? So after the bye week, they're at Philly, home to Dallas, at Houston, home to KC, at Cincinnati, you like that, home to Buffalo. But here, week 16 and 17, which are the finals in ESPN Standard Leagues, home to Buffalo, home to Miami.
So here's the point, though, Matthew, is that, so again, what I was trying to say is that I don't care who you play. What they are doing right now is historic and ridiculous, and don't try to tell me that they are only performing this way because of who they are playing.
They're
incredibly stacked defense. So the question is,
who are you willing to trade to get them?
So
can we, random producer back there, can we play a name game? Everyone knows I have good buns.
Will you just smash him against the window and I'll try to lick him through the glass?
He wasn't expecting to see this kind of action.
That would be a mighty fine booty if you could get him.
All right, enough of the butt talk.
Jake Butt. I was beating it in the preseason and now I need to beat it again.
You obviously work with puppets way too much.
I might try to plunder Corey Clement, but I'm sort of boned out.
Where did you find that out?
It's on Twitter. It's trending.
The throat can only handle so much.
A couple really obvious drops.
There you go.
Well
that was
right
pretty
there.
Well done.
Pretty
that was
well
pretty
done.
Well
I'm just going to
pretty
assume
well
it's
done.
Lee from Williams as always. So, Matthew,
yeah.
We're going to play a name game here, and I'm just going to start throwing out random names. And again, I'm going to aim high here. So, if you had, do you have the Patriots defense or do I have the Patriots defense? You have the Patriots defense, okay?
I have the Patriots defense.
I am offering you Adam Thielen for the Patriots defense.
No.
I am offering you DJ Chark for the Patriots defense.
No.
I am offering you, we have to go a little bit higher, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, because I got
Mike
the
Evans
defense.
For the Patriots defense.
Ooh. I think still no.
Ooh, how crazy
is that, right?
It's crazy.
Godwin, I'm saying yes to.
Okay, I agree on that. Odell Beckham Jr., the Patriots defense.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think it's a no still.
Isn't that ridiculous? It's crazy.
Do you agree? Do you disagree with any of these? If we had them reversed,
no, not yet.
All right, are you?
So you take over now.
You've got the Patriots. You've got the Patriots.
Yeah,
defense.
I don't think it's crazy.
You've got the Patriots
defense.
Remember,
people, like every game, they have a 10-point built-in advantage. Now I understand that the chances of them losing points are precipitously greater than a running back or a wide receiver or a quarterback, but every single game they have 11 interceptions through six. They lead the league in sacks. They have scored 5 touchdowns on defense and special teams.
You have the Patriots defense,
okay.
And I have Aaron Jones.
I will take Aaron Jones.
Okay. I have Melvin Gordon.
I'll keep the Patriots defense.
All right.
I'm worried there.
Todd Gurley.
We'll talk about him a little bit more. Assuming that this quad injury, if it costs them any time, is short term, I'll take Todd Gurley.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Mark Ingram.
Patriots defense? I talked myself into that one. Patriots defense, I think?
I think so. I think Mark Ingram's a sell high. He's just not involved in the passing game. And
for the rest of the season, Matthew, I think, so they've got 10 games left. Of those matchups you mentioned to me, I think I view at least six of them, and maybe seven of them, right, as like a week where I expect them to potentially be the number one scoring defense in football for that week.
Sure.
The Kansas City game obviously scares you. Philadelphia game to a degree. The Philadelphia game. Yes, the Dallas game and the Houston game. Those four are
scary.
Maybe
Baltimore.
Maybe, yeah. But still, like five of your games, they could get you 20 points. Five of them more going forward. Right. So it's interesting questions.
Leonard Fournette,
I think.
Yeah. I'm with you. So, yeah. So I think what we're saying is that we're willing to trade, just looking at sort of the, let me ask you.
The one that gave me the most pause there was Mike Evans and Odell.
Right. Let me give you a couple other ones real quickly. Evan Ingram.
Assuming the knee, he's back next week, I'll take Evan Ingram.
Mark Andrews.
Takes Patriots defense.
Okay. George Kittle. Okay. So, I'm trying to think. Darren Waller. Waller the baller.
I'll take Darren Waller. Not quite sure on that one.
Okay. And then I want to move over real quickly to wide receivers very quickly. Keenan Allen.
Right. No question.
Let's see. Tyler Lockett.
That's right. Close.
Julian Edelman.
Edelman.
Okay.
Close though.
Robert Woods.
Maybe Woods, but that one probably maybe the that's like a 55% Patriots defense, 45% Robert Woods.
Hey guys, you guys really wouldn't take Mike Evans over the Patriots defense? Like you're talking about Robert Woods? I'm back here. I've been biting my tongue for this whole time.
Good, please get in. Tell us for
nuts. I can't believe you guys are willing to take a defense over a top 20 caliber player.
Can I give you why I said that?
We're probably nuts, by the way.
I think you are nuts. I love you guys, but that's crazy.
Here's why. Because the question becomes it's twofold, right? It's a twofold question. Number one is for the Patriots defense, you have to assume, how are they doing this? Is it fluky? Is it a couple of fluky touchdowns or can it continue? And so my belief is, and I think Field is with me here, is that we believe this is not just, a result of bad scheduling or whatever and some poor quarterback play. We believe this is a truly elite defense coached by a truly elite defensive mind with truly elite players. That is my belief on it. I would think Field would agree with that.
Yeah.
Right? And it's an aggressive defense, right? Sometimes there are good real-life defenses that aren't necessarily great fantasy defenses, but it's an aggressive defense as well. Okay. So then you add that, right? And then you think about the replacement level, right? So for me, I think Mike Evans, do I have some nervousness about, listen, he's still Mike Evans, still going to be a pass-first offense. I still like it. I agree with Field. That's one that gives me the most pause.
And Odell.
But Odell. But I'm a little nervous, right? That maybe Evans is wide receiver 14 on the season. He's been a little bit inconsistent. And my guess is that when all is said and done, Mike Evans is somewhere, I don't think he may or may not be a top 10 wide receiver. I think he's probably a top 20 wide receiver. Fair?
Sure.
So now you're talking about, so my point is that I think you have a better chance. And maybe I'm wrong on this. I could be crazy, right? Depends on competitive leagues, right? But I just think I have a better chance of mixing and matching at wide receiver on a weekly basis and getting production there than mixing and matching on defenses because there aren't that many good defenses. And candidly, the 49ers defense isn't available in any one of my leagues. I'm in 16 leagues and it's gone in every single league where you play a defense because they play the Redskins next week. So to be able to not have to worry about trying to stream a defense every week, and knowing I'm getting, double-digit fantasy points for my defense with the potential for, they're averaging over 20 so far, versus Mike Evans, who is awesome, but for me, it's replacement value. And it's close. I get it, but that's my argument.
I was not properly articulating what I was thinking about when I was considering the Patriots defense or the alternative, and you just did it for me. I'm glad you did that, because I think people are going to say to you, come on. You're really digging the Patriots defense over insert talented wide receiver or running back X? Well, maybe the answer is yes, for the exact reasons that Matthew... Now, I'm imagining it in my own leagues, in a league where I have, let's say I have Tyler Lockett, or I said I would keep Tyler Lockett. But if I had, whoever we said, Robert Woods, who I have backing up Robert Woods, just feels like a stronger option. I mean, we dealt with it last week. We tried to avoid the Rams defense in the 16-team War Room League because they had a difficult matchup against the Seahawks. We ended up with the Cardinals, who we thought maybe they could get it done against the Bengals. The Cardinals, in the best matchup in the league, got 1 point on defense.
Right.
So, I guess...
It also depends on your scoring, but it's worth noting. So, listen, here's...
But...
I have an argument for and an argument against. The argument against is that in week 14 of the fantasy playoffs, they play the Kansas City Chiefs. Their worst matchup of the year, so the first round of the playoffs. Having said that, if you can get through week 14, week 15 they play the Bengals. Week 16 they play the Bills at home. Week 17 they play the Dolphins at home. Right,
that's the thing, is that
like if you can get through week 14, they're going to win you the league. They're little those last 3 weeks, they will win you the league. And
let me just
wrap this up real quickly and move on. I will say this. I think the answer to your question, Brian, here is basically, I think Field and I feel like if we were to trade, the question was, what would we want in return to trade? We think it's worth an RB2. Like right. we wouldn't trade like Kamara, McCaffrey, anyone like that, but like a Mark Ingram type we would consider. So a running back 2, a wide receiver 2, or a tight end outside the top 4. Is what I think is what we're willing to do.
Like maybe we said a little bit lower on tight ends, but
yeah, we were
call it tight end
on Waller.
Six
we were
and
sort
beyond.
Of like yeah, maybe, but certainly like a certainly anything past a top 5 tight end, 100%.
I'm a little fearful of this one biting us in the butt by about week 13, but perhaps it's an historic season. If you look back at what the Bears brought you wire to wire last year, they were just as valuable as in wide receiver too, and the Patriots are well ahead of that curve with a more favorable schedule. Going forward.
Right.
Let's get to the stuff for this upcoming weekend, Matt, because there's a lot to get to. David Johnson.
By the way, real quickly, not cool, Keith. Do you agree with what I just said?
I just told the guys back here, I said I wouldn't do it myself, but I think your argument was very solid. Like, I definitely understand.
Well, I
think the reasoning makes plenty of sense. It's something that I just generally have never done before, so I guess like maybe I'm slow to change on this one. So
I generally don't either. It's just whether do you believe in the Patriots defense? And I think Field and I both do on some
really
level.
Good, yeah. I guess the touchdowns and stuff are so hard to predict. Like, this is the calculator Mike and me,
Sure, sure.
Like, no
it's
question.
It's hard for me to think that, this is going to continue to that level.
My guess is that if this video gets passed around, which it does, which is good, that's part of what we do on the show, it's going to get a lot of blowback, which I'm fine with. We can live with it, right? Like, there's a chance that, there's a chance it comes back to bite us in the butt. But for right now, based on what we've seen through 6 games, and again, with the chance to repeat, certainly in week 7 against the Jets
right.
on the road, the Patriots, you still feel good about that one. Let's get to the stuff for Sunday, Matthew, because we do have a lot of things to get to. The two biggest injury question marks going into the weekend are David Johnson and Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is dealing with a quad issue. David Johnson is dealing with a back issue. So we begin with David Johnson. If he sits, and again, he has not participated in practice Wednesday or Thursday.
So hold on. I've got actually a couple of updates from Stefania on that one, Field, if you want
okay,
me to
Okay, I have
them
here. Yeah, I can give it to you.
You want it?
Yeah.
You know what? Hey, hang on. I'll do it. I'll handle it. Do you have the updates? Hand it to me. I'll do the update.
You want to have it right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you sure? Because I could do them.
Sure. No. I got it. Let's see. Where is it here? Where's the injury update on David Johnson?
But go ahead, Daniel. You can take it from here.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure Matthew's got it on his sheet. We can look at it there. No?
Here we go. Got it. Yes. David Johnson isn't practicing for the second straight day, but he did work with the rehab staff on the side. If he practices today, I expect he plays. Now bring me my cucumber sandwich. I'm Starfanya Bell.
Well done, Starfanya Bell. She kind of like listening to you shriek. Personally, but so let's assume or let's imagine he does not play Matthew.
Yep.
Chase Edmonds would be the next man up on Todd Gurley. Do you want to give us the update on Todd Gurley before we ask the question?
Sure. Listed as a non-participant Wednesday and Thursday because of a thigh contusion. Says there are still 2 more days to get some work in, so this could come down to the wire. Walkthroughs only on Wednesday and Thursday, so these are estimations for Todd Gurley. Sounds like a game time decision. Hello.
All right, back to these guys. If they do
I need a back rub.
If David Johnson and Todd Gurley do not play on Sunday, let's get into the value. Yeah. Of Chase Edmonds first. If Chase Edmonds steps in for David Johnson, Chase Edmonds has actually been pretty good so far this year, Matthew, averaging over 6 yards per carry. Perhaps he could vault into running back?
I think he's a top 10 running back.
I think
he's a top 10 running back.
Okay.
I mean, you think about the, first off, I just think there are a ton of points scored in this game, right? Yeah. I mean, because I think the Falcons put up a lot of points against Arizona, and I think their defense is brutal. And so you think about David Johnson's role in this offense, where he's not only getting a bunch of work running the ball, but he's also catching the ball. And so if David Johnson were out, again, like no Christian Kirk, like there's not a lot of weapons out there. And so Chase Edmonds, who's been actually really good in the passing game as well, like, you know, for his career, he's caught over 83% of the targets that's ever been thrown his way in his career. And so, yeah, I mean, Chase Edmonds, I think, would be due for a large workload in a game where you're going to see a lot of points against a bad defense.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So Edmonds is a former fourth-round pick out of Fordham, a guy that we've seen a little bit so far this season. And beyond that, like, do you know? I don't even know who their third-string running back is offhand. I apologize for not knowing that, but I presume that Chase Edmonds would be comparable workload-wise into what David Johnson has been in many weeks. We know that they have thrown the ball a ton this season. As you mentioned, we think this one will be competitive again on Sunday, which means there will be plenty more opportunities to throw this football. Chase Edmonds is a capable pass-catching running back. I think I probably would feel maybe more like top 15 than top 10, but I get you. How about Malcolm Brown, Matthew? Because we know that the next man up in Los Angeles is Malcolm Brown based off what we saw earlier on this season. Darrell Henderson has not become a thing yet so far this year. If Todd Gurley sits, Malcolm Brown should be the workhorse for them.
Yeah, certainly. And like, listen, obviously not nearly as good a matchup. But, you know, they're playing the San Francisco 49ers, yeah, second best run defense in the NFL the last 4 weeks. But again, you think about week one, double digit touches, scored the two touchdowns, had over 17 fantasy points, right? He's averaging 2.88 yards per carry after first contact.
Yeah, that's
very
good.
Small sample size, but like if he qualified, that would be the second best among all running backs. And so, look, they have a lot of confidence in Malcolm Brown. We talked about him in the preseason as the Todd Gurley handcuff. Like, I was very clear on this. I talked about, you know, that I liked Darrell Henderson, but I thought that he was being overdrafted and that the handcuff, if you wanted to handcuff Todd Gurley, and I've said this since day one, all through training camp, Malcolm Brown, not Darrell Henderson, was the handcuff to Todd Gurley, and that's proven to be the case here throughout the season. Like, and we'll see. Sean McVay said, hey, we knew, I'm paraphrasing his quote, but it was something to the effect of, we know we're going to have to count on Darrell Henderson at some point this season. It might be this week. So we'll see. But my belief is that Malcolm Brown, based on the workload he would get, there's a reason they signed the deal to take him away from Detroit. They matched the offer of the Lions, that Malcolm Brown would get a heavy workload, and you'd see Darrell Henderson get, I don't know, 6-8 touches in this one. Maybe they would do the way that they've done it with Gurley, which is he gets 2 or 3 series. But my expectation is that with Malcolm Brown, he'd be a top 15-ish running back. He'd be a must start. And I also feel, by the way, don't you, just from a pure fantasy perspective, don't you sort of hope Todd Gurley sits out on this one? And I do. And just in that, because everywhere I have Todd Gurley, I have Malcolm Brown.
Yeah. So you're different, though, because some people may not have Malcolm Brown and he may not be available. I would say this. If my team is riding well right now, like if I'm 4-1 going into this week, I'm fine with it. If I'm 2-3, then I'm saying to myself, like, I just want Todd Gurley in there because if he's good enough to play and he can, you know, sneak into the end zone twice.
Yeah, I guess my concern there is that limited workload and it's a tough defense and like he takes a hit early on and just like, you know what,
I don't want to compromise his health, obviously. I'm just saying, like, if he's well enough to play and get through a game, then I would like to have him on the field, as I'm sure he'd like to be on the field himself.
I feel like clarity wise, it'll be much cleaner if we know Todd Gurley
totally
is out. It's going to be hard to sort of handicap this backfield if Todd Gurley is active. The one thing I would say about Henderson is that, like, listen, if you're desperate, you can pick him up, but I would prefer just to roster Henderson and not actually use him until we see it on the field. Like, he's played, I think, less than 10 snaps so far this year. I mean, like, there have been games where he hasn't played at all. And so it's real tough to trust what that workload's going to be until we see something from him on the field.
Did you know that on Sunday, it is possible that Washington or Miami will not lose? Like, no scenario exists where both of them lose on Sunday. 0-5 Redskins go and play the 0-4 Miami Dolphins coming off of a bye.
The tank for Tua Bowl.
The tank for Tua Bowl. Bill Callahan regime begins. And Matthew,
go Dolphins.
Here's what we have heard so far this
week. I'm legitimately rooting for the Dolphins
in
this game.
I understand why. The Dolphins have been by far the worst run defense in football this year.
Yes, they
176
have.
Rushing yards per game allowed this season. Bill Callahan, and whether he's just coach speaking his way through the press conferences or not, has said, you know, he's made it clear he believes that
Running the football, establishing the run is important.
Yes.
And that it's not just yards per carry. It's also the sheer number of attempts.
I believe he offered up the statistic that the more rushing attempts you have, when you have more rushing attempts than the other team,
you tend to win.
You tend to win the game.
There might be some reasoning behind that that's a little bit more nuanced than just running it more than the other team.
Yeah.
That's a great matchup, though.
He's a football guy. Bill Callahan is a football guy.
Football lifer.
Yeah.
But it's a great matchup for Adrian Peterson. And conversely, Matthew, Kenyon Drake, I mean, this is a game we expect the Dolphins, like, we expect both offenses to be able to move the football.
We do.
Is this like the 1 week of the year where you could actually trust Adrian Peterson and Kenyon Drake and put them into your flex spot this weekend?
I actually think you can.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I think both guys are probably interesting DFS plays. I think Peterson will be more popular than Drake. Did it come up on Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle?
No, we did not talk about either of these teams.
Okay.
We stick to professional NFL franchises on DFS.
Wow, Daniels won a couple of games with the Lions, and all of a sudden, suddenly just throwing shade left and right. I see how it is. So let's talk about Adrian Peterson, right? So, look, six different running backs have gotten double-digit carries against the Dolphins. Four of them ran in for a touchdown. Three of them ran for at least 100 yards. You think about this Miami Dolphins defense, it's giving up over 175 rushing yards per game. Bill Callahan has said, we want to run the ball.
Right.
Adrian Peterson was quoted as saying, this has been the best week of practice since I've been here in Washington.
Yep.
My expectation is, and by the way, Bill Callahan, all jokes aside, like I like Bill Callahan. Like, I'm on board with potentially him being the head coach, you know, beyond this year.
Sure.
And I certainly hope he's done a really good job with not a lot to work with on the offensive line as the injuries have piled up over the years. And so, you know, I'm good with Bill Callahan, and I hope whatever the coaching change is, whoever the permanent coach is next year, I hope Bill Callahan is on the staff. I absolutely do. So I'm a Callahan fan. But again, former offensive line guy, Callahan, that's right. You know, listen, I'm not surprised to hear this. I'm not surprised. You know, he's an offensive line guy. He wants to run the ball.
Of course.
Also, by the way, you've got shaky quarterback play,
right,
and you're on the road, you know, at Miami. Like, it's going to be hot down there. This makes a lot of sense.
Totally. And when you're taking over for a job, last thing I'll say is that taking over for a job, it's about establishing a mindset and being tough and physical and battling back, grind it out 1 week at a time, guys.
Right.
The ship has not yet sunk. That doesn't work as well when you're like, we're going to spread them out and just run right past them in a track meet, when you don't really have the horses to win a track meet. You have Terry McLaurin, and that's about it in terms of offensive skill players. We expect a run-heavy game. We expect a pass-heavy game, though, in Kansas City, where the Chiefs host the Texans. The Texans, right, coming off of a monster offensive effort. The Chiefs, in a very rare occurrence, did not have a monster effort. They scored just 13 points against the Colts. Now they've got some wide receiver question marks. Tyreek Hill is back to practice this week.
By the way, you and I both agree. I'm sorry, before we move on to this, just real quickly we both agree Kenyon Drake, very viable flex play.
Yeah.
Listen, Kalen Ballage has, you know, been brutal, and, you know, Mark Walton hasn't established himself. Like, expect a heavy dose of Kenyon Drake against a Redskins team that's giving up over 27 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs.
So the Chiefs are dealing with some wide receiver injuries. Sammy Watkins has been banged up. He left that game early last night against the Colts after zero catches. So that hamstring issue looms. Tyreek Hill dealing with that clavicle issue. Let's say both of them sit. But by the way, do we have a Stefania injury update on this that Daniel can read and not Matt?
Wow.
No, what you just said is perfect. And okay, I think most of the chat is ready for a non-Stefania return.
Really?
Yeah.
I want a poll. Thirsty Kyle the only one access to the poll?
I think Jackson can make a poll.
Jackson, make a poll.
I think it's good.
Are you pro or con the Stefania voice? I just, you know.
We'll get it up there.
We'll get it up there. In any event.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, we do
in
not know
fashion.
If he will play on Sunday.
I think it's funny in limited fashion.
So let's
fashion.
Just start here. Yeah, right. Yeah. And we've had our limited fashion so far today. Sammy Watkins seems unlikely to play. Seems unlikely to play right now. Tyreek Hill actually seems like there is a chance that he is going to play. Let's make it very simple with Tyreek Hill. If he plays, you play him. We know that.
Right.
It's a trust the process thing. I get it. He could go out there and have a non-Tyreek Hill type game,
Whatever. But
of the 100 times he plays, maybe 80 times he gets you 15 or more fantasy
points. If Tyreek Hill starts for the Chiefs, he starts for you.
So let's say that Sammy Watkins sits. Now that we have seen Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle all go over 100 yards this year, could you start any of them if Sammy Watkins sits? And is there any clear cut, this is my preference if Sammy sits amongst those guys? Because I've seen a decent amount of adding and dropping of those players. just because of the variance week to week of their performances. Any of them sort of tickle your fancy if Sammy Watkins sits?
Look, it is purely a guess. You know what I mean? It really is, especially because, by the way,
name out of a hat.
Because here's the thing. We haven't seen what this offense will look like with Tyreek Hill, right? So when Sammy Watkins has been out, there hasn't been Tyreek Hill. And so how does having Tyreek Hill affect what Patrick Mahomes sees on the field, what he does, and what sort of packages and plays Andy Reid calls? If I'm gun to the head, I've got to pick someone, give me DeMarcus Robinson. DeMarcus Robinson would be my choice, and I'll tell you why. First off, I think when it was just him and Mecole Hardman, he was running a lot more routes than Mecole Hardman. I think Mecole Hardman is the one that, you know, is most similar to Tyreek Hill, and so if Hill were there, I think that's somebody that they need less than DeMarcus Robinson. Byron Pringle, like, he had one big game. Like, I don't know what to tell you on Byron Pringle, and I would love to sit here and say, like, I'm ESPN's fantasy expert and you've got to do this, but just being candid, like, honestly, no, do not have a great feel for what the Chiefs would do with their pass catchers beyond Tyreek Hill if Sammy Watkins is out. But I'm just telling you, like, my best guess, and it is purely underlined guess, would be DeMarcus Robinson is who you'd want to play.
I'm thinking, like, now this is the part where I'm like, it's going to be a huge Blake Bell game.
Of course.
Like, you know, like the backup tight end to Travis Kelce. No, I'm with you. I think you just... If you have any of those players in your roster, you are hoping to win the lottery, a scratch ticket, if you will, on Sunday, especially if we think Sammy Watkins ends up not playing, which is the way it's sort of trending right now.
And by the way, Field, the over-under on this game is well over 50.
Oh, tons of points.
It's the Texans and the Chiefs. It's too great off. Anyway, they could all go off.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is what we expect to be the highest scoring game of the week. We expect to be tons of fantasy points on both sides of the ball. So I will say this. It is a little bit of YOLO and you know, and cross your fingers and hope and, like, come on, Mecole Hardman or Byron Pringle or whoever, go out there, do something. But if there was ever a game to do that with people, it's the Chiefs and the Texans, right? Yeah. I mean, because, again, all you need is one. And if Patrick Mahomes throws 6 touchdowns in this game, would that shock anyone?
No, of course not.
I mean, right?
Patrick Mahomes, by the way, we do believe all good to play on Sunday. I know he's dealing with that ankle injury. It might impact him in terms of scrambling a little bit, but he's Patrick Mahomes. So.
Super weird. Daniel just got in my ear and told me he would trade Patrick Mahomes to get the Patriots defense.
Wow, Daniel, really?
I'm surprised to hear that. I'm surprised to hear that. But that's all right. It's fine.
I learned it from you, Dad.
Are we brothers? I did not know that until right now. We're going to play a little game of repeat or regress. Listen, I'm not saying that repeating would be an exact replica of what happened last week, but the idea is, like, do you expect a player who was down or up last week to remain down or get back up compared to where he is in
this
week?
Is this replacing Field of Streams or is this an addition to?
We've got some Field and Stream in just a minute here.
Okay,
but
good.
Oh, Odell Beckham Jr.
I was worried we'd lost Field of Streams or something like that. I didn't know.
25% of Odell Beckham's points this season have come on one catch.
Yeah.
That long 80-plus yard touchdown against the Jets all the way back in week 2. Over the past 2 weeks, Matthew, he has 47 receiving yards. Is he going to break out this week against the Seahawks?
I don't think he breaks out this week against the Seahawks.
Okay.
I think better days are ahead for Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay.
But, look, to say that I'm not worried would be a lie. I mean, like, they've looked bad. And, you know, all the underlying numbers, right? The target share is down from when he was with, in addition to the fantasy points, like the target share and the routes run, and like the majority of the underlying numbers through the first 5 weeks of the season are less than what they were on average for the Giants. And so, you know, you think about what they have coming up, right? So they're home to Seattle this week. Then they've got a bye in week 7. They're at New England. In week 8, they're at Denver in week 9, they're home to Buffalo in week 10. Like, again, he's Odell Beckham Jr. He's unguardable. He's a, you know, you don't think about it. You start him every week, but given his inconsistent production so far this year, he's really just had the one big game and the inconsistent play of Baker Mayfield and the entire Browns offense, that upcoming schedule can't give you a great feeling.
I guess what it comes down to is that you can't have a great feeling about him maybe being the number one scoring wide receiver in fantasy. We just said, you know, trust the process a minute ago.
You have to.
That's where it's going to remain with Odell. You got to keep playing him there.
100%.
I think that there are going to be games where he is a monster. I'm not sure that against the Seahawks, this is an example of him being that monster that we are talking about.
Yeah, your only hope here is that, you know, the Seattle Seahawks offense is just running so well, right? And they're crushing it. And so that maybe there's some junk time here. You know, that's what you're hoping for, which could happen.
True.
And
yeah.
Like, again, Beckham's one of those guys that all he needs is one play. We saw it against the Jets, right? Mm-hmm. The, you know, 90 yards.
Mike Evans is kind of in the same boat. All he needs is one play. He had 4 catches back in week 2 against the Panthers. That was his only, I'm sorry, he has just one game with more than 4 catches. He went 4 for 61, and Mike Evans and the Bucks got a downgrade. I believe this week they got a downgrade because of the wide receiver cornerback matchup against the Panthers. A pretty good secondary here, Matthew. You confident that Mike Evans can get on track? Jameis Winston was quoted as saying, I believe something to the effect of, we got to get the ball to Mike Evans more. You think it'll happen on Sunday?
I think they're going to try, but I'm nervous about this. You know, look, he's played the last 5 games he's played against the Carolina Panthers, no touchdowns. He's 0 for his last 5 in terms of touchdowns against the Carolina Panthers. We expect a shadow from James Bradbury here, who's played him well in the past. And so, you know, he has only, I think, one game more than 61 yards, as you mentioned, right? He's only had one game of more than 61 yards against the Panthers in his last 5. And, like, you know, you think about, right, you just talked about how so much of the points came for for Odell Beckham Jr. in that one game,
yep,
in that one catch, right? Well, 57% of Mike Evans' points this season came in that huge Week 3 game against the Giants.
Right.
The 3-touchdown game.
Sure.
I haven't looked at your rankings, but I have Chris Godwin higher than Mike Evans this week.
So do I. And I think with Mike Evans, though, so not a great matchup.
Yep.
And, like,
you have to start him.
You have to start him.
You have to start Mike Evans. Do not get cute here. But do I think he breaks out? Do I think he has the way that we called the Davante Adams breakout game. We called the Mike Evans breakout game. You know, we called the Beckham breakout game, actually. So there have been a lot of weeks where it's just sort of like, this is the guy that this guy comes up. Like, we called the Will Fuller breakout game last week. He was on the love list and we talked him up on Fantasy Football Now and the whole thing. So, do I think this is the Mike Evans breakout game? I don't. Or
okay,
the second one, because he had the 3-touchdown game against the Giants.
So you're,
I don't,
not buying this is the Mike Evans game, but you're still starting him, just to make that part,
yes,
very clear.
How 100%,
about DeAndre Hopkins, though?
Start.
Because maybe this is the DeAndre Hopkins breakout game. He's got 5 or more catches,
yes,
in every game this season. The problem is he has not been nearly as frequent of a visitor to the end zone, and his yards per catch not as explosive as it has been in previous years. But the Chiefs, Matthew, they have been what has cured the ails for most wide receivers so far this year.
Yeah.
Can that be the case with DeAndre Hopkins on Sunday?
I believe so. Look,
yeah.
Look, he's getting a ton of looks, right? He has a target, yep, share of over 28%. It's third highest among all wide receivers in the NFL. And you think about this Kansas City Chiefs defense field, they've allowed 3 different wide receivers to score over 21 fantasy points in a game.
Yep.
All of them 6'1". So, you know, maybe is there something to the height thing?
Height,
obviously,
thing, yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins is obviously 6'1", actually taller. And, look, you mentioned the catches. Like, he's gotten at least 5 catches out of a game this season. And so, I don't know. I just think the volume of work in a high-scoring game. And there's a little bit of just sort of team politics, right? And just like Fuller had his big game.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson is like, I got to feed the big dog.
Right.
Right? You know, I mean, at some point, like, it doesn't always happen that way, but I believe there will be a concerted effort to try to get DeAndre Hopkins into the end zone this week. Not only because he's their best player and not only because they're going to need to score to keep up with Kansas City, but just because, like, that stuff matters, right? You know, like
yeah, that's fair.
Locker room relationships matter. And that,
sure,
that I've talked to enough former NFL players to know that that is a real thing that goes through quarterbacks' minds.
I'm with you on that. No need to overthink it much more than that with DeAndre. But can Will Fuller keep it going, Matthew? I love the stat last week that Will Fuller rose from wide receiver 65 to wide receiver 7 just because of one game last week where he had 53.7 points.
So that 53.7 points?
Yeah.
That would have been wide receiver 30 for the month of September. Like,
ridiculous.
If he'd taken the other 3 weeks off,
just passed,
and that
on
one
playing
right,
football,
he's still a top 30 wide receiver based on that one game.
That is ridiculous.
For the month
but can
of
it continue, Matthew?
September.
So I,
yes,
think that, but
do I think 50 points? No, I don't. But do I think he's a top 20-ish wide receiver this week? I do. Again, it's a high-scoring game. I think they're going to have to throw quite a bit. Here's the thing about Fuller, and one of the reasons why I was on him last week as well is similar to DeAndre Hopkins, is like the volume's been there. They've missed on a couple of plays. Like, they just haven't been able to connect. But, like, he's gotten, you know, 5-6 targets in pretty much every game so far this year. So he's running a ton of routes. He's 100% healthy. We know about Will Fuller's talent. It's never been about his talent. It's always been about his health. He's healthy now. And so, look, you saw what he could do last week, and I was encouraged by the fact that Will Fuller, who usually when he has a big game, it's 3 for 114.
Right.
And a touchdown.
14 catches last week, right?
14 catches. Yeah. So, yes, yeah. I mean, I rank DeAndre Hopkins over Will Fuller,
of course.
But do I think Will Fuller deserves...
It's a very good matchup.
Yes.
And it's, again, some of this comes down to the emotional side of how you set your lineup is that what are the chances that Will Fuller has over 30 points this week? 10%? 20%?
Yeah, not
maybe?
Even.
Yeah. Let's say 10%. Okay. Sure. What are the chances that the person you are replacing Will Fuller with has even 20 points? Not even 30 points, but 20 points. Like, I bet the chances are not significantly less. Higher than Will Fuller. Chase the upside. Yeah. Go big. Great matchup.
And where I thought you were going here, Field, honestly, is just like, who in their right mind, just again, you talk about fantasy football being an emotional game.
Yeah.
Who's taking Will Fuller out of their lineup after last week?
Just total contrarian.
Right. I mean, there's other people. There are certainly people that benched him and are like, they can't believe they left him on their bench and are now like, they can't wait to get him into their lineup. But,
right.
But yes, there's no one that has Will Fuller in season long that is not starting him this week.
I'm going to pass on the voice, but I am going to pass along Stefania's information that she sent. Via email. This is all from Stefania. Chris Carson was added to the injury report on Thursday with a shoulder issue, which is something to monitor, but as Stefania notes, he was available to the media, which suggests it's not that serious. Friday practice will be important. Hunter Henry for the Chargers was limited both Wednesday and Thursday, so of course Friday will be important. Stefania's feeling that he is likely to play. Very interesting there. If he plays, you most likely play him as well. Vance McDonald is not participating yet this week. However, last week the only practice for him was Friday, and it was a full session. He played, although he was quiet in week 5. Adam Thielen was added to the injury report because of an illness on Thursday. He was at home. It was an excused absence. Let's keep an eye on that one Friday. My general sense, this is Field speaking, not Stefania, is that he's going to be fine going into the game on Sunday.
I know.
Hollywood Brown.
Those of us with Stephon Diggs is like, come on, maybe just take a break.
Yeah,
like, just,
not?
You know,
Adam,
like, take a, like, it's a long season.
Squeaky wheel gets grease every other week. How about that, right?
God, please,
Marquise
anything.
Brown did not practice on Wednesday or Thursday, although John Harbaugh says nothing serious. If he participates at all on Friday, you expect him to play on Sunday. Last one here, Alvin Kamara was added to the injury report because of his ankle, but it's unclear whether this was a new injury or a planned lightened workload. Monitor that one. And I'll just say this, I'll add this. This is, again, my intel here. Christian McCaffrey, I know we've had some questions about that because he got a back issue. He's been saying, like, guys, I'm fine. They're over in London, so the media availability has been much earlier East Coast time than it normally is. He says he's going to be good to play on Sunday, so no concerns there. On Christian McCaffrey, he may
Speaking
have
of London. We should have our old buddy. Who's our old
Matt Coombs?
Matt Coombs. Yeah,
we need to get a Nat. We need to do a Nat Coombs.
If Nat respected the program, he'd just fly over here and come on the show live, right?
By the way, fair. If you knew Nat, he might do that.
Like, oh yeah,
you know,
yeah, he'll be here.
Nat's
next
a
week.
Buddy.
Yeah.
So I think we have 2 more weeks of London games.
Yeah, that sounds
I think
right.
That's right.
At least one
anyway,
more.
We should every year we should do something with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Let's see what it is that
I can
do.
We should give an all expenses paid trip to us.
Ooh.
To go to London.
Wow.
Matthew, you have a love-hate column that is out every single Thursday.
Yes.
This week you dove into Bruce Allen. Bruce, I hope you're not reading it.
I hope you are, Bruce.
All right.
Real talk. I literally asked Field, and you don't have to give what your response was, but I literally asked Field before the show, we were talking about that column, and I said, what do you think? Was I too mean to Bruce or not mean enough?
It was harsh.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, what do you think, Secret Scroll?
I think I've been a fan of an organization that had some struggles for a number of years, and so I completely understand the frustration and where it comes from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Like, the reaction on Twitter was, you know, a lot of people, obviously, that are also very frustrated with the Redskins were very pro, but there was a lot of people that was like, wait, you're just now done with Bruce Allen? I've been done with him for 5 years. I mean, like,
true.
It's, you know what I mean?
True.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, listen, I mean, you know, if you haven't read the column yet, you should, but I'll just tell that one thing that I did is I used a bunch of quotes, from his press conference. And then I pointed out the fact that those were all his excuse quotes from his 2014 press conference. Right. 'Cause he held a press conference at the end of 2014, after they had finished last for the fourth time in his first 5 seasons. and he gave all these platitudes about being held accountable and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, it's all the same stuff that he said now another five years later.
He's just the wash, rinse, repeat playbook. So let's get to a couple of your players that were made the love-hate list this week. Matthew, rip through three of your loves, a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver.
Yes, sir. So obviously loves and hates are all about our ESPN projections. People expect to do better or worse. And one guy I love this week, Kyler Murray.
Yep.
You know, and I always try not to pick like the obvious guys. And so Kyler Murray makes my love list this week. Again, we talk about the high floor, right?
Yep.
Him, Patrick Mahomes, and Gardner Minshew, of all people, are the only quarterbacks to have scored at least 16 fantasy points in all 5 weeks this season. We've talked about this on the show all week long. Last 3 weeks, you think about this Falcons defense. They've given up over 960 passing yards. They've given up 10 touchdowns. And what I like about this is that Kyler Murray has started to run. The skill set that we saw in college, he started to run more, 189 yards rushing and two rushing touchdowns over the last 3 weeks for Kyler Murray.
Better.
All right, so I need you to earmuff this here, Daniel, for me. Please close your ears. Earmuff for me, but Kerryon Johnson makes the
love. Interesting.
Yes.
Mr. Lion.
Detroit Lions running back Kerryon Johnson at Green Bay. You think about the Packers who allow over 5 yards per carry.
So 15 far, would be a lot.
15 would be a lot. So
yeah.
Over 5 yards per carry, it's third most in the NFL, 5.16 to be specific. You think about the six different running backs that have gotten at least 10 carries against Green Bay this year, they're averaging 5.5 yards per carry. They've got six rushing touchdowns, right, in 5 weeks. And then Kerryon Johnson, who since week three has over 73% of the Detroit Lions. He is their workhorse.
Legit workhorse now. Yep.
So on the road at Lambeau, my expectation here is that they heavily feature Kerryon Johnson and don't try to throw it a lot against that very good Packers secondary.
The only player that made the waiver wire column in his initial run that I actually felt pretty good about, Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, and he makes the love list as well. I think one of the for the same reasons you had him on the waiver wire column and your free agent finds column is why he makes the love list, right? So he is the Falcons slot receiver. We know this. Well, the Cardinals against the slot so far this year, third most receptions allowed, third most yards allowed. They're tied for the second most touchdowns allowed. Like, they can't defend the slot. Now you're saying, like, what can they defend? Not a lot, honestly.
Not much.
Last week without Patrick Peterson, so maybe things get better for the Cardinals secondary. But certainly this week we expect a lot of points to be scored. Matt Ryan's thrown for over 300 yards every game this season, and I think you would win a bar bet with this one. The Atlanta Falcons wide receiver that leads that team in receptions is not Calvin Ridley, and it's not Julio Jones. It is Mohamed Sanu.
29 catches already for Mohamed Sanu. And just to your point about Patrick Peterson, and just sort of extrapolating this forward, the good thing about Mohamed Sanu is that he'll never get the team's opposing best cornerback because will go to Julio. And the second best one will probably go to Calvin Ridley. Should be a favorable matchup each week for Mohamed Sanu. Players that you think will not reach their projection, which puts them on the hate list for this week. Matthew, again, a quarterback, a running back, and a wide receiver.
Carson Wentz is somebody that's, struggling. Look, and I don't think it's all his
fault.
I've
had him lower than you, actually. Yeah.
Do you really? Well, yeah. I mean, when this week started, he's just outside my top 10. Yep. And,
maybe that's where I am now after the quarterbacks were removed.
Right, the quarterbacks removed from Thursday night. Certainly, we both had Brady high.
Yep.
Not necessarily Daniel Jones, but we both had Brady high, and so he moves up at least one spot here. But, yeah, Wentz outside my top 10. Going against Minnesota, not a great matchup, obviously. The fourth fewest yards per pass attempt this season they allow. They're giving up a league low 8 yards per completion. And I don't know that it's all Carson Wentz's fault. He's been plagued by some really brutal drops.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's been missing DeSean Jackson for the majority of this. Alshon Jeffrey missed a game in there. So it's been kind of a rotating, whatever you want to call it, a turnstile, if you will, at the wide receiver position for Carson Wentz and the Eagles. But for whatever reason, be that as it may, I should say, last 4 weeks, just 209 passing yards per game for Carson Wentz, 3 straight games with under 20 completions. He hasn't been a great fantasy quarterback. Hard to see that happening.
My argument's a lot
on the road
simpler.
At Minnesota.
Right, they're just good. That was my thought. It's like Minnesota defense, very good, playing at home. A game that we think Minnesota should be able to move the football against Philly. We'll see how much Philly will be able to move it against Minnesota because of that very good secondary and defense in general. Joe Mixon, Matthew, against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are, expecting Joe Mixon to have a big game here, and he's outside my top 20. My concerns on Mixon here is the offensive line, not necessarily Mixon, but The offensive line in Cincinnati has been brutal, right? They average the third fewest yards per rush before first contact. I mean, people are getting into that backfield quickly and often. He's averaging just 13 carries a game. So the workload hasn't been there, and partially due to game flow and partially because they've been using Giovanni Bernard more, who has more targets, who's run more routes this year. Now it's like one more target, but still, like, the fact that it's even close should be a point of concern if you have Joe Mixon. And then you think about how this game plays out field. Bengals on the road, they're double-digit underdogs here. And so, you know, the Ravens offense that we like a lot, and going to the Ravens offense, you know, getting to face the Bengals defense, which has struggled so far this year. So if they're down and they're down big quickly, do you see a lot more Giovanni Bernard? So I'm worried about the workload here. I'm worried about the offensive line. I think the Ravens defense, you know, plays in a big way here. It's a, you know, it's a divisional game. I think they want to show up here in a big way. Game, it's a home game too as well. Baltimore's at home. So yeah, Joe Mixon makes the hate list as well. Like I said, outside my top 20. And a guy you just referenced earlier in terms of, his injury status is Marquise Hollywood Brown. Now, I know you said, or, you know, based on what Stefania is telling us, that probably okay, or, yep, you know, we'll see how he does today, and he only needs to practice a little bit to be in there, but, you know, he has only one game with more than four receptions.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, and what's weird about the Bengals, if you sort of look at them, they have seemingly, as bad as their defense is, they have seemingly decided to basically scheme away the top pass catcher on the opposing team and let everyone else beat them.
Now, that's worked.
Right. Well, obviously, yeah, right? But, I mean, for whatever reason, it seems to be their attitude. Because you think about who they've played so far this year, and Tyler Lockett, George Kittle, John Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, all of them had their season low or tied their season low in targets, receptions, and reception yards against the Bengals. I don't know. Like, look, one big play can do it for you with Marquise Brown, and certainly against that defense, you have the potential there, but I'm nervous about Marquise Brown. I think it's a Mark Ingram game. I think you see some Mark Andrews. I think, you know, you see, like, you know, Miles Boykin or Willie Snead get into the end zone. I think Cincinnati will scheme to try to take away Hollywood Brown if he even plays. Again, having missed practice so far this week, he makes me nervous.
I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not the person that has to write love-hate. Not because I disagree with any of your picks, Matthew, but basically what love-hate is doing is it's telling you to, like, make a decision on a player, right? Yeah. Where there is a decision to be made. And as we know in fantasy football, there is so much unpredictability. Now, that is why we are paid to do what we do. But still, I agree with what you were saying here.
Wait, you guys get paid to do this?
No. Well, I mean, I get lunch.
Right.
I get lunch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I get school credit.
All right, me too. That's why. All right.
What school
I got nervous there. Thinking I was the only one not getting paid for this.
It's a finishing school.
What number graduate degree are you getting now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to catch up with Stefania.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We're going to discuss a wide receiver injury that may be more serious than previously expected. A little bit scary here, but first, a word from our friend, Strawman, at the Fantasy Show.
Hey, now.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Undefeated Detroit Lions play on Monday Night Football against the Packers. They're undefeated. Don't question me on that.
I know they are. Yeah. I know. I just feel like Daniel put that in your script there.
Are they undefeated, Daniel? In your mind, they're undefeated, right?
They're undefeated because we should have beat that Chiefs team, and we shouldn't have had a tie against the Cardinals.
You guys haven't lost.
In terms of games you should have won, you're undefeated.
Yes, exactly. We have done all the things that we should have done and more.
They play the Packers on Monday night, and Devontae Adams, the last time we saw
him. Monday Night Football on ESPN and the Watch ESPN, and on the ESPN app, I should say. Watch ESPN. Hold on. Sorry. I'm a bad company man.
I got to tell you, sometimes I wish, I mean, I'm not trying to gripe about the schedule too much, but I kind of wish that teams that play on Monday Night Football did not previously play on Thursday night. It's a long time between games. Same thing for teams coming off of a bye.
Although I will say, listen, Lions Packers, that's a good game.
Oh, it's a great game.
That's a really good game. That's a better game than you might have thought that was at the beginning of the season.
The reason why that came to mind was I was going to say the last time we saw Devontae Adams on a football field, and I was like, wow, it's been all the way since last Thursday, and they won't play until Monday.
It's been a minute. That's what the kids say.
It's been a minute, as the kids say. Thank you, Matthew. Devontae Adams described his injury as major. Yeah. Calling it, this is from the
go ahead. Sorry,
Journal Sentinel.
Start over for video. They're going to want this. Sorry, I'm screwing around. Go ahead. Hey, Field, what do you know? Give me the latest on Devontae Adams.
This is coming from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this reads word for word, calling it a major injury, he, Adams, wasn't about to speculate on a potential return date. We're really just trying to pace it at this point, Adams said. I can't really tell you when I'm going to play. It doesn't feel how I wanted it to feel at the moment, but we definitely have time, so we'll kind of just play this thing out. And I know Mr. LaFleur will definitely be able to take care of any other questions regarding that. Haven't heard a player call his coach Mr. in a while, but anyways, the tenor of that, Matthew, suggests that not only will Devontae Adams sit out on Monday night, but this could be a while.
Yeah.
We'll focus on the be a while part if we get more information on that by Monday, or maybe we hear about it during the broadcast or what have you. Probably right. More of a next week conversation, but for this week.
And I'm sure we'll discuss it on Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning, sure. 10 a.m. Yep. Eastern on ESPN2.
Good call on that. But for week six, if Devontae Adams sit, again, another good spot for Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Geronimo Allison. Do you even bother, though, no. Based off what we saw last week? Don't even bother.
Look, you may be desperate. I mean, you know, you might be without T.Y. Hilton or Tyrell Williams or right. John Brown or Allen Robinson, a bunch of guys that are on buys this week, right? Or, you know, or without Devontae Adams, right? And so I would get it. But my concern here is a couple things here, right? And so you think about Aaron Rodgers made the hate list this week, right?
Daniels
and
I'm
just,
too.
So, right. And so let me just talk about this, right? So, like, very quietly.
Okay.
Lions have won four straight against Green Bay.
Really?
Yes. They're looking for their fifth consecutive victory
wow.
against the Packers. Lions have allowed four passing touchdowns this entire year. Okay?
That feels good, yeah.
Four passing touchdowns. It's tied for third fewest in the NFL, right? Rodgers has just six touchdown passes in five games.
Okay.
Like, what was the... Hey, Statapillar. Damian Dabrowski from ESPN+, Plus, the Statapillar of the fantasy show on ESPN+. Plus. He's sitting in for Thirsty Kyle today. What was the stat that we had in terms of Aaron Rodgers' last three touchdown game was when?
It was week five of last season.
Wow.
He hasn't thrown three touchdowns in a game since week five of last season. Aaron Rodgers.
Would have never guessed
Aaron
that.
Freaking Rodgers.
Would not have guessed that.
And so, and by the way, as we've talked about, like, the Packers don't need him to because you know what?
They're 4-1. Yeah.
They're really good. And so you think about this Detroit Lions defense that just held Patrick Mahomes to his lowest point total of the season. That is giving up just four passing touchdowns. And by the way, coming off a bye, Matt Patricia has had 2 weeks to prepare for Aaron Rodgers in this defense. And so I don't know that anything you've seen so far out of Aaron Rodgers, out of the Green Bay Packers, out of Marquez Valdes-Scantling or Geronimo Allison that gives you any sort of confidence in terms of starting them on Monday night. Now, look, they're going to have to throw at some point and no Devontae Adams there. So, yeah, maybe. But I feel like this is a run-heavy offense and it's a run-heavy game and that the Lions, you know, are going to be prepared for this. And so one of them will have a decent fantasy game here, but I don't feel confident starting either of them.
I feel the same way. I've got Marquez Valdes-Scantling ranked higher than Geronimo Allison.
I do, too.
I weirdly have a suspicion that Geronimo Allison is more likely to score a touchdown on Monday night. That's a suspicion, though. That's not much of a fantasy call. So, yes, I think it's fair to, like, not feel confident starting either one of those players.
And by the way, here's a question for you. Who is the number one wide receiver in Green Bay? Do you think it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, or do you think it's Geronimo Allison? Fantasy points would tell you it's Geronimo Allison. Sort of the eye test would tell us Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right, and some of the snaps and some of the routes right. run and things like that as well. But this might be one of those, where I thought you were going with that was, is that one of those, like, when you have two quarterbacks, you have none? Like, when you have two not number one wide receivers,
a little
it
bit
mean of, that you have a number one wide receiver?
A little bit, but also, you know, just check this out. Here's the weekly ranking for the, quote, number two wide receiver in Green Bay, whoever it was.
Yep.
65, 46, 50, 18,
right.
and 78. Only once a season has the number two wide receiver in Green Bay been a top 45 receiver for the week. You know, Valdes-Scantling has under five catches and 55 yards in four out of five games this season. Allison scored a few touchdowns here, but, like, again, one of them will have a decent game. I'm sure of it, right? But I don't feel confident. I don't feel confident in either guy, so I'm starting only if I have to.
Yeah, part of what happened last week that sort of warped the passing game was that Aaron Jones ran crazy. They had a yeah. bunch of short fields. He will not run for four touchdowns this upcoming week. But
not
still,
with that attitude, he won't.
That's right. With hopefully a bit more passing game opportunity leads to one of those two players, Geronimo Allison or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Just hard to say with confidence either one of them being the guy. We debut what some are calling like an award-winning. I don't know if they've given out the Emmys yet for 2019
right.
or 2020, but I've won both years. The category
interesting
best news segment, Field and Stream. I actually saw somebody.
Do you think when you say some are calling, is that some Chapin?
Well, yeah.
Okay, fair. Understood. I just want to know where. That's fine. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I'm totally good with it.
Okay, gotcha. I thought you were calling me out there for a
second. No.
So I'm walking down the street.
Chapin's very excited about it. I understand Perrin's also very excited about it.
Field and Stream. I actually was walking down the street a couple days ago in Boston when I was back home for Caddy's event, and I saw someone wearing a Field and Stream sweatshirt.
Nice.
And I'm like, wow, it was such a success that after 1 week, they've already started to brand it, print the goods.
There's already swag about it.
Now, I ignored the fact that it says established in 1871.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever. Maybe that was a misprint. Maybe they just didn't actually...
The company that built the t-shirt probably was established in 1871.
That's what it was. Gotcha. So, more seriously, it turns out I believe it's like a hunting company. Like they sell camouflage gear and stuff like that called Field and Stream. You learn something new when you go on the internet, Matthew. So three candidates here, and it's hard because by the time we get to Fridays when we're mentioning players to consider streaming, some of them have been added a bunch that week because we have people that are smart when it pertains to fantasy football. They listen to the Fantasy Focus podcast. The Ravens defense will be a great streaming option this week. Now, they've been added in a bunch of leagues, not because they've been good so far this year, but because they play the Bengals. What the Bengals tend to do is give you opportunities to score points with your own defense, and I thought last week the Ravens defense would play with a bit more of a chip on its shoulder, be mad, be angry, be disappointed, revenge game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I was wrong. I'm hopeful this week just because of how bad the Bengals are. Offensive line changes to an already bad offensive line, maybe they get things going. The Cowboys are my favorite streamer of the week because the Cowboys' defense special teams plays against the Jets, who just last week allowed 10 sacks, and the Eagles, who I think had fewer than 10 sacks going into that game for the entire season, ended up with 10 sacks plus two defensive touchdowns. That's never happened in a game before in NFL history. 10 or more sacks, two or more defensive touchdowns. They accomplished it last week.
Now, this week they get Sam Darnold back. Last week was Luke Falk. So you expect the offense to be at least a little bit better.
A little bit better, but still. Offensive line is terrible. Chris Herndon's likely to miss this game. What a bummer that was. Oh. Chris Herndon actually hurts himself working out on his own before his suspension expires. Hamstring issue, which costs, it's going to cost him
some time. Nothing good comes from hustling. Dude, sit on your couch and watch Netflix. What are you doing?
10 years, seriously.
Or
right?
ESPN Plus, I'm sorry.
You should
have sat on your couch and watched ESPN Plus.
So the Cowboys defense and special teams still available in about a third of leagues. I would go and add them. Gardner Minshew is my last one. A non-defense for the streaming options. If you have some concerns about Aaron Rodgers, like Matthew pointed out, maybe you used Jacoby Brissett last week to stream him against the Chiefs. Now you're finding a new quarterback. Perhaps you're disappointed by your starter. Maybe you have Carson Wentz and you're fearful of that Vikings defense. Gardner Minshew, we've used this stats many times this week. He's got 16 fantasy points in every game this season. At least 16 fantasy points. He's one of three players to do that. The difference between he and Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray is that he did not even start in week one. He came in for Nick Foles in relief duty, still managed more than 16 points. By the way, Gardner Minshew is dealing with a bit of groin tightness, I believe it was described, or groin soreness.
I'm not going to touch that one. And you know what? As a little present to you, Secret Squirrel, I'm going to leave that one alone.
Okay. I appreciate that, man.
I'm not going to make any jokes about Gardner Minshew's groin tightness.
So that being said, he is expected to play on Sunday. Again, they play the Saints. A good defense. But still, Gardner Minshew, he's got some magic to him, some mania to him, and that Jaguars passing game looks far better compared to where it was with DJ Chark being a beast amongst beasts. He has been unbelievable so far this year.
He's been unbelievable. And then you think about getting Nick Foles back to back up Gardner Minshew in week 11.
That is going to become amazing. Like, I kind of wonder. So I'm going to break a rule for a second, and we're going to get to social questions in just a moment. Is there a way to, like, amplify the stakes of a board bet? Like, I feel like that's a board bet that, like, should count for more than 1 point.
Got it.
And again, I have zero information that Nick Foles is going to start other than just intuition.
Right.
Like, that almost feels like you know how they do, like, Uber surcharges?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, heavy traffic is going to surcharge 1.8 times. Can we, like, you know, surcharge this Nick Foles board bet?
I don't want to.
Or you want to leave it 1-for-1?
Here's what I was going to say. I'm okay making it a bigger bet. I don't want to mess with the integrity of the board. And suddenly say this is a 3-point bet, because then we start getting into, like, what's this bet? Is this bet a 5-point bet or a 3-point? Like,
totally.
I think it
That's
should
fair.
just But I am totally open to raising the stakes in general for that bet.
Okay. Well, we can discuss that further. I don't have a good answer. I feel like we've lagged on these.
People
like,
suggest it.
Game wagers so far. Like, yeah. You know, I think we've
tweet
made
your suggestions at Fantasy Focus for.
I like that as well. Keith, we're going to hand it over to you because we've got a bunch of rapid fire social questions. They might be a bit niche as in like a party of one, but that's okay.
Yeah, let's hopefully we get to serve some more people than this.
Yeah,
we can talk
work.
About the trade
values
of these players as well. We're going to do a few trade questions and a handful of flex ones.
Okay? All right.
So T-Bone has to know he has a trade. Julio Jones and Josh Jacobs for Saquon Barkley and Allen Robinson.
Julio
Jones and Josh Jacobs for Saquon and Allen Robinson.
I think I prefer the Julio and Josh Jacobs side there, but it's really close.
That's really close. You know... I think I'm going to go with the. I think I want the Barkley Allen Robinson side of it. Here's why.
We expect Saquon back next week.
And I would argue the difference between Saquon and Josh Jacobs is greater than the difference between Julio and Allen Robinson.
That's fair.
But look, it is. I agree with you. It is super close, and it's very much a fair deal because I think you could easily make the argument. I'm taking one side of it, but you could easily make the argument that the difference between Barkley and Jacobs, especially coming off of his last game and that the Raiders offense seems to really be gelling now, the difference between Barkley and Jacobs is smaller than the difference between Robinson and Julio. But
I'm not bemoaning the trade. It's just kind of a weird one. Like, what?
Why?
Why? What prompts you to be like, I'm going to trade my excellent wide receiver and very good running back for an excellent running back and very good wide receiver? You know what I mean? Like, usually a trade is like, hey, I'm weak at running back. I need a wide receiver, vice versa, or I'm strong at wide receiver or whatever, and you can make something work.
But you know what?
What's fun about this, right?
Right. It may be somebody who's simple as just like, I'm a crazy Barkley fan or I love Jacobs or whatever. And it's just, you want to root for your guy or whatever. And by the way, he may see, like, I'm nervous about Julio. You know,
sure. That's fair.
He's
totally
dealt with
fair.
Hammy injuries throughout his career. So, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Context is always the hardest part here. But BSnow97 wants to know, says, I need a tight end. Is trading Tyler Boyd for Austin Hooper a good value?
I think that's fair.
It's pretty close to fair. Yeah,
I think that's fair.
Hooper's been very good. He's been productive in almost every game this year, I want to say. I'm okay with Austin Hooper. Yeah, no problem there.
Devin wants to know, should he trade Josh Jacobs? Here we go again.
Before you ask that question, I just want to say one quick thing about Tyler Boyd. If you're thinking about trying to trade Tyler Boyd because of A.J. Green coming back, he returned to practice this week. The expectation is that he could play next week. I wouldn't, obviously, because we've seen Tyler Boyd be very productive
with A.J.
Green on the
field. Right, it actually helps Tyler Boyd, doesn't hurt him.
All right, go ahead, Keith, sorry.
That's okay. Devin was asking about Josh Jacobs as well. He wants to trade Josh Jacobs for OBJ.
So...
Also fair.
Also fair, I agree. And, I presume if Josh Jacobs is your third running back or even your second running back you're making this trade, some of it probably comes down to certainty, right? I mean... there are going to be weeks where Josh Jacobs is not great, but Josh Jacobs is going to get somewhere between 15 and 25 touches per week, whereas we've seen it. Odell...
And they started to use him a little bit more in the passing game in the last game, in the game against Chicago.
Odell might have weeks where, like, over the past 2 weeks, he touches the ball a total of, five times over a two-week stretch.
The biggest concern for me on Beckham is that, like, it should be hard to take him out of the game. You know what I mean? Like it should require a massive effort to like we can neutralize him, but it hasn't. He's
really
been taken
scary.
Out of the game, whether it's because of Baker or because just like Humphrey played great against him, but like it shouldn't be that easy to take Odell Beckham Jr. out of the game.
Weird year.
In the last couple
of
years,
the last couple of weeks. No kidding.
It has been. So
Keith will be at the game on Sunday though, right?
No, I will not.
Just kidding.
They got a chance of winning then.
Yes, exactly. They're 0-4 with me.
Yeah, I mean it's unbelievable.
And won a home game yet. Before we get to the flex, one question here from Waldo wants to know
where am I?
And that's the thing. It's spelled W-A-L-L space D-O-U-G-H.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
So Waldo on the wall.
Yeah.
No. Well, I mean, maybe.
I'm just saying, like, if somebody had the Twitter handle Waldo and just tweeted, where am I? I think that's fun. There you go. I'm sorry. That's me. I'm amused by simple things.
Hey,
what do we got?
You've said this before. They're not all winners, right?
They are not all winners. Rarely are they winners. They're rarely winners.
Waldo wants to know, who is your favorite buy low running back right now?
Can I count Saquon? Is Saquon, I would argue Saquon's value is lower now than it has. I mean, it was lower, obviously, when we thought the injury was longer, but it's still lower than it will be.
Is it Devontae Freeman type guy? Is Devontae Freeman would be a buy low type? Would you agree?
Yes, I agree he would be a buy low.
Like him or not,
I don't love Devontae Freeman.
I'm trying to think of
good
somebody.
Buy low running low back.
Really comes to mind. Well, I mean, hey,
I'll David Montgomery.
I was just going to say. That's what I was going to say, is that like the price for David Montgomery is going to be ridiculously cheap. Now, we also earlier this week basically said, like, we don't see it. We haven't seen it. Who knows if we will see it? But if, again, buy low. The idea of a buy low is a guy who has not shown much, but you maybe have an ounce of belief in. And the price for David Montgomery, I would imagine, is like you're shopping at the dollar store right now, which,
sure,
you know, that would be the ultimate buy low.
I have a couple of other suggestions here if you want buy lows. Some, you know, and I don't know that my favorite necessarily, but I certainly think I would say Damian Williams.
Okay.
You know, they hadn't really done much this year. Sure. He's stuck in a committee in Kansas City. I do think I was encouraged by his usage last week, and I think a big game's coming.
Okay.
So I think Damian Williams would be somebody that you could put there. I'm not a Le'Veon Bell fan, as you guys know, but I do think with Sam Darnold coming back, like I think as long as he stays healthy, his value will increase. So Le'Veon Bell, little bit low, and Melvin Gordon. Like again, like I'm an Eckler believer and everything like that. But like, if you have Melvin Gordon, you're probably a little bit, you know, nervous.
Fair call. Jason. So, I like it. Yeah, fair call.
Those are some buy low candidates at the running back position. Oh, and I have one last one too.
Devin Singletary. That's weird.
There you go. Mind meld. There you go.
Chemistry right there.
Pretty much.
Simpatico.
Yes.
All right. Let's do
Devin Singletary. Like just like he. A very talented guy, should be back after the bye of the week, and ultimately I think it won't be hard for him to displace Frank Gore.
Start or sit time, what do you got, Keith?
Yeah, four flex questions here. Russell wants to know, Terry McLaurin or Austin Eckler?
Eckler.
I'll go with Austin Eckler as well, yep.
Okay.
Eckler, and honestly, I don't think it's that close. I'm nervous about McLaurin getting shattered by Xavier Howard. You know, like Howard hasn't been as good as he has been previously, and I think there may be some junk time here, and I think volume makes up for all that, but I mean, I don't think it's all that close.
Okay. Anthony wants to know, Jordan Howard or Tyler Boyd?
Boyd, for me.
I'd go with Boyd because of that defense in Minnesota is so good that, like, Jordan Howard's going to have to score once or twice.
Yeah.
Okay. Nets 50 wants to know, Kenyon Drake or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Wow. Tough one, huh? That is a tough one. I'd go with Juju against the Chargers on Sunday night, but I that's a really tough one right there.
So Juju's going to, no matter what, on the outside, he's got Casey Hayward, and then moving inside, he's got Desmond King based on the wide receiver cornerback article.
And you know, like it might be Delvin Hodges. I say Kenyon Drake scores more fantasy points than Juju Smith-Schuster in week six.
I say Juju Smith-Schuster scores more fantasy points than Kenyon Drake in week six.
Put on the board!
Put on the board.
I'm saying Kenyon Drake. I don't feel great about it, but I mean, Juju is on.
Why not? Have
YOLO.
Some fun.
Exactly.
Live a little. All right,
okay, should we, do you think that we should let Kalen Ballage know about this board?
Wow. Yeah. He's listening to the podcast.
Mom's
live
the word.
Stream right now.
Mom's the word. No one tell Kalen.
He doesn't have to listen to the podcast to hear the vitriol in his way.
Exactly.
Joshua, last one here. Joshua wants to know, Adrian Peterson or Marvin Jones? Half PPR.
Adrian Peterson for me.
I go Adrian Peterson as well. I just think there's, you know what? I want Marvin Jones. I'm not kidding myself. Marvin Jones, please. Half point PPR. I still give Marvin Jones the edge.
Yeah, here's the thing.
I know.
I think Peterson's got a very good chance of scoring a touchdown on Sunday. All the reasons why I just talked up Kerryon Johnson are the reasons why I'm down on, like, it's a really good secondary in Green Bay, and it's a really poor front seven. I just think it's a huge Kerryon Johnson day on Monday night as well. And so, like, Stafford made the hate list.
Yeah.
You know, Galladay's going to get
his. It's a great question.
I will say this, though. I feel like, and Dan, you back me up here, with no stats off the hop, I feel like Marvin Jones always kills the Packers.
He
always has big games. Always has big games.
So, I wouldn't want to do a board bet on that one.
I'll stand my ground on Jones. You keep Peterson. No board bet.
I'm nervous about that one. That's a close one. I get it, Joshua.
Flex questions right there. So we're going to be back on Monday recapping everything that takes place and getting ready for Daniel's big night on Monday night, the Lions and Packers. In the meantime, follow or go to Tuesday morning or Sunday. Wow. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Fantasy Football Now for 3 hours. Me, Matthew Stefania, and Will Kane getting you ready for everything you need to know. Injuries, matchups, stats, the best stuff you have, all available for 3 hours.
If you play daily fantasy sports and you need some help, check out rotopassdaily.com, which literally features the best DFS player in the world.
That feels good.
Jeff El Jefe. And so anyway, check it out, rotopassdaily.com. The site is helping people win at Daily Fantasy. Follow Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram at Field Yates. Follow Secret Squirrel on Twitter at Daniel Dopp and on Instagram at Something to Break. Keith is at Keith Lipscomb. And by the way, reach out to Kyle Soppe at Kyle Soppe ESPN.
Yes,
S-O-P-P-E at Kyle Soppe ESPN and wish him a happy marriage and congratulate him on a wedding. Thirsty Kyle at Kyle Soppe, S-O-P-P-E ESPN on the Twitter. Our little Thirsty Kyle getting married, thirsty no more. I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media except the Fantasy Life app where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. We are back on Monday. Peace out.
Turning numbers into dreams, that's what he'll do. Along with random Damien, he's in Field's crew. The deepest voice you'll ever hear. From a man without a beard, he's thirsty. Steve.